This is your moment. Your moment to move forward and make progress. It's time to see where an education can take you. For over 130 years, Strayer University has been at the forefront of change, offering programs that help students like you get ahead and stay ahead, so you can keep striving. Visit strayer.edu to learn more. Strayer University is certified to operate in Virginia by CHEV.
Today is Saturday, June 12th, and this summer, big blockbuster movies are making a comeback, both on the big screen and at home. So today, we're talking about how the last year may have changed how people watch movies forever, and how that's affecting the box office, movie theaters, and Hollywood as a whole. Jeff Bock is a senior media analyst at a firm called Exhibitor Relations in Los Angeles. It's an established leader in entertainment data. Jeff joined us last year to talk about how the movie industry was dealing with COVID-19. Now he's back to talk about the future of theaters versus streaming services, and he's sharing some summer movie predictions. Welcome, welcome to the Newsworthy's Special Edition Saturday, when we sit down with a different expert or celebrity every Saturday to talk about something in the news. Don't forget to tune in every Monday through Friday for our regular episodes, where we provide all the day's news in 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Lacey Evans, filling in for Erica Mandy during her maternity leave. It's now time for today's Special Edition Saturday. Jeff, thanks for coming on the Newsworthy again with us.
Thanks for having me.
Some studios are now releasing certain movies on streaming networks on the same day they're released in theaters. So how does this affect movie watching?
Well, it all comes down to personal preferences. How do you want to watch movies? Theatrical was not on its deathbed, as many people had said during the pandemic, but it was definitely a trying time for theaters. And without HBO Max and Warner Brothers releasing films, it would have been a really difficult period. And I think a lot more theaters probably would have closed down. So whether you think it was successful or not, Warner Brothers, I think, did the right thing by giving audiences a choice. And that's something that audiences are going to be faced with going forward, even after the pandemic, is I think a lot of studios have decided, hey, you know what? This works for us with this film or this genre of film, and it might not with this bigger film. But for the smaller films, expect that to be a component going forward.
So you think this trend is here to stay?
Yeah, we saw the collapse basically of windows. Those used to be 90 days from when a film went into theaters to when you could view it on home video or DVD, Blu-ray, or PVOD. There's so many ways to consume home entertainment these days, but it used to be that 90-day window. Well, that basically was cut in half. Now it's a 45-day window, and that is just sort of a holding place. We are in a holding pattern in terms of what the actual window is. Universal has a deal where they have 17-day window from theatrical until its premiere on PVOD, and other studios have similar windows and a lot different windows depending, like I said, on the genre and on the type of film. We're going to see windows fluctuate for the next couple years, and I don't think we'll ever get back to one window that will support all films in release.
Interesting. So how do you think theaters and streaming services are going to coexist in the future? Will it just be this constant kind of negotiating every time a movie comes out?
Yeah, there's going to be a little negotiation between studios and theaters. There always is. But as you know, there were a couple theater chains that wouldn't play Raya and the Last Dragon because Disney had decided to put it out in theaters and on D+. Well, that didn't last long, as we saw with Cruella. Even though it was premiering on Disney Plus for $30, all theaters were playing this film. It was in 3,800 theaters across the United States and Canada. It's pretty obvious that theaters have now decided, well, you know what? Yeah, there's zero window with Cruella and anything that Disney puts out. They're also going to do the same thing with Black Widow and Jungle Cruise later this summer. There will be a debut on D+ and in theaters, and every theater is still booking all of Disney's films. So they can coexist. And as we saw from what Warner Brothers and HBO Max did earlier, we saw Godzilla versus Kong debut with $31 million, even though it was basically free on HBO Max if you subscribe to their service. We also saw great openings for Mortal Kombat $23 million, and even Tom and Jerry with $14 million. Those family films did quite well, even though they were available on HBO Max. So this type of it's one or the other, it's streaming versus theatrical, I don't think is really true. And that's been proven by the fact that you can still have a big opening despite it being, you know, free or cost $30 on the same day in a streaming world. I think that's a positive sign going forward, actually.
Do movies need theaters to make money?
I think this is a testing ground for all the studios, and it's going to continue to be so at least for 2021 and probably in 2022 as well. You'll see Disney and HBO and Paramount, who now has Paramount Plus. They're going to play with films and genres of films and see which one benefits them the most. And by benefit, I mean which one makes them the most money. And you just have to fraction that out now, not in just terms of box office, but in terms of subscribers to their streaming networks. I mean, I didn't think I'd ever see the day where a Pixar film went straight to streaming. They didn't even put Soul in theaters, and they're going to do the same thing with Luca this summer. In fact, in a couple weeks, Pixar is, as you know, the gold standard for animation, and they are bypassing theaters completely just to dangle that carrot for the Disney Plus subscribers. And that's a huge sea change in terms of how we think about movies being released. But if we think about, you know, the next generations of moviegoers or just movie watchers, it's different from our generation, from the Generation X, from the baby boomers. These next generations get to decide how they want to view their entertainment. And far and away, that is, they choose to watch things on their phones or on their screens at their own time, at their own place. And that's a big change where we've been in theatrical for decades, if not 100 years. There is a set time to go see a movie, and that's, you have to plan your schedule around that. And that's just not the way it works anymore.
Still ahead, Jeff weighs in on why he's feeling optimistic about all the movies on deck this summer and why he thinks both the studios and the theater chains stand to benefit. But first, here's your main host, Erica Mandy, with today's sponsors.
So I really recommend using FrameBridge for all your framing and gifting needs. I had such a great experience. I bought some digital photos for our new nursery, and then it was so easy to just upload them to FrameBridge and see those exact photos in dozens of different frame styles. I still couldn't decide, so I used their free service to work with a talented designer and get recommendations. I ultimately chose a frame that adds such a great pop of color to the room. And I loved that all three photos were delivered to my door, beautifully framed and ready to hang. Or if you need help creating the gallery wall of your dreams, you can work with the design team for that as well. And with Father's Day right around the corner, FrameBridge makes the perfect gift. Just upload your photo and order by Tuesday, June 15th to get guaranteed free delivery in time for Father's Day. Select gifts ship next day. Order a custom gift for any dad in your life in just minutes by going to FrameBridge.com and using the promo code NEWSWORTHY to save an additional 15% off your first order. Go to FrameBridge.com with the promo code NEWSWORTHY. FrameBridge.com, promo code NEWSWORTHY. This episode is also made possible thanks to our next sponsor. If there's anything stopping you from being and feeling like your best self, then why not give BetterHelp a try? You can talk to someone when and how you want, on your own time, at your own pace, and you choose whether you talk through text, chat, phone, or video. Of course, everything you share is confidential. There are counselors for everything you may need, including anxiety, family conflicts, grief, stress, and more. BetterHelp will assess your needs and then match you with your own licensed professional therapist, and you can start communicating in less than 24 hours, all without any offices or waiting rooms. And it's easy and free to change counselors anytime to make sure you get the right fit for you. If you've ever thought of giving this a try, now is the time because the Newsworthy listeners get 10% off your first month just by visiting betterhelp.com/newsworthy. I want you to start living a happier life today. So get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/newsworthy. Again, that's betterhelp, H-E-L-P, betterhelp.com/newsworthy.
Thanks, Erica. Okay, now back to my conversation with Jeff Bock. Is this the start of a real comeback, or are you pretty cautious?
Both. I think that this summer is going to be great for the box office. As we saw with Cruella and A Quiet Place Part 2, people are really jonesing to go to the movies. There is a lot of built up frustration about not being able to leave the house and do the things that we normally do, which is a very common experience that we've all ran into. And I think whether you're vaccinated or not, but whether you're comfortable or not going to the theater, you know, that's another thing. And that's what I think people are now. There's a big comfort level, and that just wasn't there even weeks ago. Even though we have 30% less films than we did in the summer of 2019, the summer of 2021 has a lot of big films. And I think those films, you know, as long as word of mouth is good, and I think they will for the most part, because they are pretty bulletproof. As you talk about big sequels like F9 and the new Escape Room and Hotel Transylvania, Black Widow, these films, regardless of whether they get good reviews, people are going to go see these films. And so that bodes well for the box office and for streaming. Hollywood relies heavily on sequels, on superhero films, on horror films. Those genres of films are always going to do well in theaters. And that's why theaters aren't going the way of Blockbuster Video or Tower Records anytime soon. It is still one of the cheapest forms of entertainment outside your house that you're going to get. And it's a nice communal environment. Now, you may argue about the price of popcorn and soda, but that's neither here nor there. You're still paying a lot less than you'd go to see a professional game or a concert or anything like that. So that price point really can't be beat as far as a night out. And as far as content goes, you know, you're going to find what you enjoy out there. There's a little something for everyone this summer. There's still a lot of indies on the board from Focus Features and Searchlight this summer. And being part of that community, whether you're a cinephile or just a multiplex marauder and just enjoy going on the weekends, there's going to be something for everyone out there this summer. And like I said, I think we're going to see a nice little boost by Labor Day weekend.
What do you think of the movie theater experience now? I mean, compared to how it was pre-pandemic, better, worse, the same?
I found it's pretty much the same. There's a few more staff members on hand, at least in terms of the AMCs that I've visited. But in terms of quality, it just comes down to personal preference. I've been to a few screenings now, and it just depends on how many people are in the theaters. Even with limited capacity, you're going to run into kids talking. You're going to run into people eating very loudly behind you, switching seats, standing up. And that's just something individually and subjectively, you're either comfortable with that or not. Obviously, the home experience is always going to be much more quiet, much more to your own satisfaction, if that's what you're going to. But if you're going for that communal experience to go to a horror film, to be scared by someone screaming behind you, you know, that's part of the excitement for some people.
What is your personal preference, Jeff? Do you prefer streaming at home or going to a theater?
I'm always going to be a theater guy. That's how I was raised, and I fell in love with it at a very early age. So that said, there are certain genres that I definitely do like, and I do think are going to be more prevalent on streaming. As we saw with a lot of adult dramas that require very serious attention, a lot of those have been doing poorly in theaters for a number of years anyways, and a lot of those films aren't getting greenlit by studios anymore. In fact, it is Netflix and Amazon and Apple Plus that are taking chances on these films, and we're going to continue to see that tenfold as we move forward. There is a certain type of genre that seems to work its magic at the box office, and there are other genres that don't necessarily do that, but do captivate audiences in a streaming component. You know, I'm always going to be all in for theaters, but I do like every now and then to just sit back and, you know, stream a little stream.
Thank you to Jeff Bock for sharing his insights. If you found this topic interesting, be sure to share the episode. And as always, join us for our regular episodes Monday through Friday, when we provide all the day's news in about 10 minutes. We'll be back Monday with your next news roundup. Until then, have a great day.